to name it in the Lord of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the title of the message is Gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this is part 5. And this is the gift of faith that we're going to be looking at. We've been looking the last couple of weeks at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and indeed they are gifts. And God intends, you know, and he desires that everybody in the body of Christ receive these gifts. But it's up to each one to receive the gifts. You know, when somebody gives us a gift, at some point in time, you know, we do use it, whether they actually see it or not. But, you know, if we like that gift, we're going to use it. And we know that God always gives good and perfect gifts. Amen. No mistake about that. And so when, you know, the Holy Spirit is given these gifts, he wants us to receive them and to move in them. And we need to now as never before. This year, as you know, is the year of glorious triumph. And it's also increase in the supernatural as never before for the body of Christ. It's also a time that God desires that his people judge themselves, that they will not be judged. Praise God. And we really need to do that on a daily basis, because to really be able to flow with God, to move in the gifts of the Spirit, then we've got to be doing what God's Word says to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have looked at a few of the gifts, and you had handouts last week of the different categories of the gifts. We finished with the revelational gifts, or the gifts of revelation, and that means they reveal something. We looked at the gift of the word of knowledge, which is past and present. We looked at the gift of the word of wisdom, which is future, deals with the future, and the gift of discerning of spirits on last week. Praise God. We had already looked at also one of the gifts of inspiration, or inspirational gifts, the gift of prophecy. And now we are starting the power gifts. Everybody likes to hear about the power gifts. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the first gift we're going to look at is faith, because faith is needed with every one of these gifts, whether they're power gifts or revelational gifts or inspirational gifts. Praise God. And the power gifts includes the gift of faith, the gift of healing, gifts of healing. Healing is plural. Praise God. Because it's more than one gift of healing, and also the gift of working of miracles, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So this morning we will be talking about faith, looking at faith, praise God, very, very important to God, amen, and it should be important to the body of Christ. There is a type of faith that can be referred to as natural faith, and the Word of God tells us that every man has been dealt the measure of faith. Everybody, whether they're saved or unsaved, has the measure of faith. So the first faith we're going to be looking at is natural faith. And I'm going to give you a definition of faith from a dictionary. And this is the dictionary's definition of faith, and then I'm going to later on give you my definition of faith. Dictionary describes faith as confidence or trust in a person or thing, belief in God, or in a doctrine or teaching of religion. Now, we know that non-Christians believe in their God with a little g. It might be trees that they worship, it might be animals, but still that's what they consider their God. And they have faith, natural faith in their God. Natural faith everybody has, whether we're saved or unsaved. And natural faith is just simply what God has placed into each person to believe. A person believes, and I've given an example before of a chair. Just like you come in here, whether the person was saved or unsaved, they're not even going to have to stop and think, most of them, is this chair going to hold me? Isn't that right? That's natural faith. So everybody has that type of faith. A job. If you go and you get a job, you get hired, and the person says, well, you'll get a check in 2 weeks after you've worked, or a month after you've worked. Whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going to go to that job having faith. Well, if I go to job and I work and do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to get that paycheck. Amen? Well, that's faith. Somebody says, saved or unsaved, say, for example, a man asks a young lady to marry him, and she says, yes, I accept. You know, then that man's excited. And he may tell his buddies, you know, oh yeah, my girlfriend is now my fiance. She's accepted and we're going to be married such and such a time. Well, that's faith. That's just natural faith that everybody has. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. But God wants his people to realize that we don't stop there at natural faith. Once we become born again, we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Therefore, we have the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith. Person that is not saved does not have the fruit of faith. We're not talking about the gift of faith yet, but we're talking about different types of faith. So the fruit of faith is not for those that are unsaved. It's only for the believer, only for we who are born again, because Christ is on the inside of us. Amen. And so when he comes with who he is. He comes with his very nature. Hallelujah. He comes with his very characteristic. All nine fruit of the Spirit. All nine fruit of the Spirit. Quickly turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Well, before looking in that, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And then we'll go there. Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 22. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. That was verse 23. Verse 22 tells us that what is it? Where is faith? In us. And it's called what? The fruit of the Spirit. Let's read that again. Verse 22, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's read it again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So faith is what? The fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the nine fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know, some people might say, well, you know, I know this person's a Christian and they go to church. Yet they, you know, they don't act, they don't have any patience, or they don't demonstrate love, or they don't, act very peaceful. They're always starting, always angry, always, picking, starting fights. Then, you know, that's a very real question, right? Why the fruit is not being manifested in that individual. And there is a very real answer. The very real answer, the truth is that person is not yielding to God to do their part to allow that fruit to blossom forth. Now, you know, sometimes people make a judgment meeting a person the first time or just a few times. But if you're around a person long enough, then you are able to see what fruits have been developed. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, you know, a person might be having a, you know, a hard day or something. But normally, the fruits that are developed in a person, they're going to be seen consistently over a period of time. Amen. So here, you know, a person may ask that. Maybe the patient is short-tempered. They don't have temperance. They don't have self-control. And want to know why that person doesn't have self-control. Why that person doesn't have temperance? It's because the person is not yielding to God on the inside of them. The person is not doing the word. The person is allowing the flesh to rule rather than the Spirit of God. And we're going to see that in Galatians in just a minute. And there are certain things that we can do to hasten the process of the fruit of the Spirit coming forth. Because God doesn't just want his people to have a few of the fruit. He wants all the fruit to be seen. And remember, we're talking about faith. And faith is one of the fruit of the Spirit. This, you know, say it's inside. Say it. It's inside me. The fruit of the Spirit. All nine of them. And they are going to come forth in a greater way this year in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when a person starts out, they're a babe in Christ. It has nothing to do with age. So that the fruit might look like this. And this is a beautiful rose, but it hasn't blossomed yet. Isn't that right? We have God inside of us, but this old nature that you had before, that short-temperedness, that not being able to control oneself or desires, that person that maybe didn't walk in love, was always, you know, unforgiving, or all the different things that are works of the flesh, they don't go away just because the person is saved automatically. But as a person yields to God, they move from this to this. It's still like a bud, but can you see how it's getting bigger? Amen. Praise God. And more of the fruit come forth. Excuse me. And if a person really struggled in a particular area, maybe a person didn't have, you know, much problem with patience, and they were a very patient person, but then maybe that person didn't have self-control. So that means they're going to have to work harder to allow that gift of self-control to come forth. Or maybe the person, you know, they had the measure of faith, but they now have the ability to go higher and allow the fruit of faith of God to come forth. Praise God. And so they may be struggling in that area. But you don't have to struggle when you begin to renew your mind. How do we renew the mind? We renew the mind by reading God's word. We renew the mind by not just reading it, but doing the word and asking God to help us. We've got to want to change. Every one of us. Amen. We've got to want to make the change. We've got to allow the pruning to take place. We've got to allow God to cut off everything that does not look like him. Amen. And some people don't want to give it up. They want to hang on to that, lack of self-control. And some people even brag about it. Well, you know, I don't have much patience. You know, if she says such to me, you know, I'm going to tell her about herself. Well, see, you know, you can't do that. I mean, you can, but that's not the way God wants it to work. He wants us to yield to him and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to yield to you. I'm going to come back like you. I'm going to be meek, praise God. I'm going to be a peaceful person. I'm not going to be always argumentative. I'm not going to be argumentative at all, Lord. Amen. You said the fruit of the Spirit is peace, so I'm going to be peaceful. I'm going to be long-suffering or have patience or whatever it is. Praise God. And as we yield to God, as we choose to let him do what he wants to do, praise God, how the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, he's not going to knock us upside our head and make us do anything. Y'all have heard me say that before. Amen. We've got to yield to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you still in Galatians? Okay, let's look at verse 22 again. We're going to read all the way to 26. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and love. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Stop there. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? That simply means follow and go in God's direction. It simply means yield to God, saying, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And I tell you, crucifying the flesh is not fun. It's not fun. I know everybody can say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Crucifying the flesh is just saying, okay, Lord, this person, you know, has provoked me to the last whatever. But I'm not going to go off on them. That's crucifying the flesh. Particularly if you had a problem before, you know, where you had, you know, cut somebody out in a minute. You know, that's crucifying the flesh. Not letting that come out and just keeping your mouth closed and being sweet. Or answering with a sweet answer. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's look at, read verse 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. So God wants us to live in the Spirit, and we do because we have him, we're inside of him, and he's inside of us. So we live in the Spirit, but he wants us to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we're moving and we're changing. We're being changed from glory to glory to glory into the very image of Christ Jesus. And that's what, you know, this walk on this earth is all about, yielding to God, saying, not my will, Lord, your will be done. Lord, change me. Lord, cut away everything that's unlike you, and meaning it. Amen. Praise God. And not say that it's not, you know, that it's easy. Some things will be more easier than others. But God wants the fruit of faith to come forth. Amen. The world, we've already said, has natural faith. And because we're born and we've been taught and raised a certain way, we have certain mindsets. Our mind has been conditioned to think a certain way and to say certain things. And because of that, even after we're born again, sometimes it's hard to make the changes. So we've got to, on purpose, make changes in our thought and what comes out of our mouth. Amen. An example is when, say, for example, they talk about bird flu coming and all the people are going to die and so forth and so on. You know, when you see that and hear that, you know, the world is saying, oh, yeah, I might get that, or, you know, or I hope I, whatever. People in the office, I know some of you hear this. When virus time comes around, oh, I know I'm going to get sick. You know, I got sick last year, and everybody in the office is out. Everybody's in the office, and I know they're going to give it to me. Or a person might already be coughing. They say, oh, yeah, I got that. I know I'm sick. But, you know, God wants us to make a change in the way we think and what we say. Even if you've already, you know, some things come on a person, not necessarily, you know, just because maybe not doing, you know, wearing coats or hat or whatever, or being in an environment. But God wants us to call those things as he would call them. Even if you, you know, your body is already, you know, ill, then what do you say? You don't confess like the world would say. You say what God would say. I thank you, Lord. I choose to believe your report. I thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I thank you, Lord God, right now that your word says that I should, and if you have a bad, really, really bad report, I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Amen. In the office, I'm telling you, or wherever you are, if they start, and they will, all this, you know, I might die from this thing. Don't let fear jump on you. Even you hear it or see it, you know, and this is where we are, church, because things that are coming on the world are very real and they're going to be very serious. But God expects us to walk above it. We don't have to, you know, go through bird flu or no kind of stuff. I'm telling you. And when we get, and we're not, haven't gotten to the gift of faith, the supernatural faith, but that's the highest level where he wants us to move in. We're just talking about now the fruit of faith. We talked about natural faith. Now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is faith. And so even in that area, the fruit of the Spirit being manifested, we stop talking like we used to talk. We stop talking like the world. Oh, that scared me to death. Why? Because that's the way we heard it and we said it. Amen? No. We don't say it. You know, it might come to your mind. Stop it. Cut it. Amen. Because God has not, you know, called us to speak death. Don't call death into your life. Amen. And I'm sure you can think a lot of other sayings, you know, that we all have said. Because that's, you know, that's just been passed down from generation to generation. And the world says it all the time. Amen. Praise God. To be quite honest, I couldn't think of any except those, you know, not one, those two, but there are lots of them. Lots of them. Tickle me to, why not say life? Oh, that tickled me to life. Wouldn't that make more sense? Amen. So it's a, you know, a change that we have to get our mind renewed so that we start thinking like God thinks and speaking like he speaks. And we're not going to talk about it now, but even in the book of Genesis, you know, the worlds were framed. They were made by the word of God. What he spoke. He didn't speak death. He spoke life. And when he spoke life, it came to pass. The same thing with us. You know, I do. You know, I speak life over you all. You know, but I want you to speak it more and more over you. And I know you all do too. More and more over yourselves. And don't let other people speak negative, deaf words over you. And rather than get in an argument, you stay in faith. If you have to turn your back and say it under your breath, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, that I have my house. I thank you, Lord, that I have my car. You know, other people say, well, you know, how can you do that? You don't have da 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 da. You know, you got this, that. You know, whose report are you going to believe? Got to choose to believe the report of the Lord. Amen? Because if you save what you have, that's what you're going to have. Amen? But if you save what God's word says and what you're believing for, then it'll show up. It'll show up. You know, when people ask me, you know, well, you know, about members, I'll tell them we have multitudes in a minute. Amen. So call it forth. Multiracial church. And we're all tempted to say what we see in the natural. But we've got to begin to see in the spiritual realm. That's how God is able to bring it to pass. And yes, we have a part to play, all of us. Amen? And I'm telling you, the devil will send people to your path when you start doing it. And many times it's people that are close to you. To say, well, you said such and such. Well, what do you see? You know, you just say, well, I thank you, Lord, it's on its way. Amen. You know, because the enemy wants to get a negative report out of your mouth so that the positive or that which you are believing for will not come forth. Those are faith quenchers. Don't be a faith quencher. Say, I'm not a faith quencher. I'm not a faith stopper of myself or others, but I'm one that speaks life to myself and others in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you speak that, based on the word, it's going to show up. I'm telling you. God has spiritual laws that are greater even than the natural laws. Just like if we came in here and I wanted the lights on. If there all the plugs had been taken out. I don't care how many times, you know, I ask somebody to turn the lights on. They flip the switch on and off. There'd be no light. Assuming the bill's paid, right? And it's paid here. Amen. Well, that's a natural law that works. Well, God's spiritual laws are greater and more powerful and will work as well. And we're his spiritual people, and he's taking his people now to a higher level. And he wants us to operate in a higher level because all of the gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about, they have to have faith to work. Every one of them. And love. And our faith worketh by love. So don't let anybody get you out of love. If you get out of love, I mean, repent of it as quick as you can. Because love and faith are twins, and they go hand in hand. And you want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, you got to walk in love, you got to walk in faith, and you've got to believe God and just, you know, be willing to be used by him. Amen? Amen. Now, as you renew your mind, make a conscious decision to change anything that you know is not like God, and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us. The fruit of the Spirit comes forth and we begin to blossom, praise God, and look even better than this. Because sometimes you see these real huge roses and we bear much good fruit. No longer like this, right? When we just get born again, but we become like this, bearing all nine fruit of the Spirit. And one of the major ones, all of them are major really, is faith and love. And we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Faith. What is one of the fruit of the Spirit? That's what we're talking about. faith. Amen. Praise God. And unbelievers don't have this type of faith because they don't have God inside of them. Amen. Amen. But we do. But, you know, so when people look at us, they sometimes wonder, you know, what's wrong with those people? They act worse than us. Not here, though. Praise God. But so God wants us to allow all the fruit of the Spirit to come forth and for that old pattern of thinking to be changed by renewing our mind and making a conscious decision to make the necessary changes and to speak life. We must speak life. Amen. And it's a decision that we each must make on a daily basis. Amen. This is my definition of faith. Not from a dictionary, but this is mine. Faith is having faith in God and His Word and believing you already have what you are believing for. That which you have already seen with your inner eyes or spiritual eyes, and you know it shall come to pass or be manifested in the physical realm. That's a long definition. I'm going to say it again. Faith is having faith in God and His Word, or believing God and His Word, and believing you already have, faith is already, it's believing you already have what you are believing for. I'm going to stop there. It's believing you already have it. What are you believing God for? And the scripture was read in Mark 11:22 this morning. Have faith in God that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you shall receive them and you will have them. Believe you have them already. Begin to see it with a spiritual eye. Amen. Your inner eyes inside. Not these physical eyes, but begin to see it. It's yours. It's mine, Lord. I thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. For a healthy, strong body. I thank you, Lord, for a bank account that's filled. Whatever. I thank you, Lord. See it and speak it. Not what you see naturally. Amen. I'm going to give the definition. Faith is having faith or believing in God, having faith in God and His Word, and believing you already have what you are believing for, that which you have already seen in your inner eyes or spiritual eyes, and you know, you don't just think it, you don't hope it, you know it shall come to pass in the physical realm. You know it. Or it will be manifested. If you feel like, well, you know, I don't know it. I don't have that knowing yet. Well, you start speaking it. You start speaking that thing. And you'll believe, you know, you think about it in the natural realm. If a person tells, a parent tells a child, oh, you know, you are so beautiful. Oh, you're just so beautiful. That child can really not look good at all. But because that child has been hearing that all the years that they're growing up, oh, that you look beautiful, you're beautiful, or if you're smart, the child might not be smart. But, you know, that child will grow up with that in them. You understand what I'm saying? And people will begin to look at them and say, oh, you know, what a beautiful person. I'm telling you. Amen. And even changes will come to pass. I remember this minister, and I won't use his name, but some of you may have heard of him before, but I heard his testimony. I hadn't seen him before, but he was, just really had a lot of born deformed, not able to talk, not able just to, you know, do anything hardly. But he had, you know, parents that spoke life into him. He became a mighty preacher, black man, and overcame all those obstacles. Because he had parents that spoke life into him and the chain and believed, and then he was able to grab hold of it himself. And you would never have known it. So I'm saying nothing is too hard, but we have a part to play. Amen? God can do things supernaturally, but he's sovereign, but he wants us to do our part. Amen. Praise God. So he wants us to start seeing with a spiritual eye. He wants us to start speaking it forth. into existence. And some people will come and try to discourage you. Well, you know it's taking so long, or you know this. You know, you just smile at them and just say, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. I think it's hastening its way, Lord. I think your timing is perfect, Almighty God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So we're talking about natural faith, and then we're just spoken about a little bit about fruit of the Spirit. The Word of God tells us in Habakkuk 2 and 4, Romans 1:17, and Galatians 13:11. And this is your memory verse. It's in your bulletins this morning. And let's just look at that and read it together. Amen. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And, you know, so God expects the just, who are just, his people, to live by faith. So Habakkuk, you know, is a prophet in the Old Testament. And there, God said, the just shall live by faith. Amen. We see in Romans, God said, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Galatians, let's say it, the just shall live by faith. Amen. So God wants us to realize that this is one of his tools for his people to live by faith. Amen. In the Word of God, we see that there were spoken, Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, you have no faith. Now, he wasn't saying they didn't have faith, because the Word of God says every man is given the measure of faith. Everybody understands that. Everybody has the measure of faith. So when he was in the ship and there was a storm up, I mean, water coming in the boat, Jesus was sleeping, because he moved in a higher level. He moved in the gift of faith. We haven't gotten to that yet, but that's what this lesson is all about. The gift of faith. Supernatural all the time. So he wasn't worried. His disciples could have moved in that same level. Why? Even though Jesus hadn't been resurrected and the gifts hadn't been given, they could have moved in it, because Jesus gave his disciples a measure of power to move in the miraculous, even before they were born again. Everybody follow that? So Jesus said, you know, where's your faith? You have no faith. He was saying, you know, you're allowing fear to overtake you. You're being paralyzed. Why aren't you using the faith? You're not showing any faith. Amen? Wasn't it they didn't have it, because every man's been given the measure of faith, but they were not functioning in it. They could have gone above the fruit of the Spirit to the gift of faith, which is where Jesus worked in all the time. Amen. Walked in all the time. And that's where he wants we as believers to walk in as well. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And you can find that in Mark chapter 4, let's turn there. 35 to 41. 35 to 41. You can look at that later. Praise God. But keep in mind, every man is given the measure of faith. But just because they have it doesn't mean that they're going to flow in it. And God wants his people to flow in the gifts of faith. Amen. This is where many people in the body of Christ today are. They move in little faith. I'm sorry to say. But there's a change coming about. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God, you know, he wants us to move actually higher to the highest or the best level, which is the fruit of the Spirit is best. And better is the gift of faith, the gift of faith. And Jesus gave the example about the birds of the air and the, you know, and how he took care of them and takes care of them and the grass and so forth and so on. You know, he says, how much more, you know, will I take care of you? Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. So he wants us to realize you don't have to worry or fret, but just, you know, trust God. Trust God. Amen. And not to be a faith quencher, but a faith what? Builder. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Turn to Luke. We are going to look at this. Luke 17. And I don't want you to read it yet. Luke 17. Everybody there? Okay. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is very, very important. There were 10 men. And these 10 men were lepers. I don't want you to read it now. Let me have eyes up here, please. And 10 of them were all ill with leprosy. Anybody know what happens when you have leprosy? Right. You lose parts of your body. And they came to Jesus, and Jesus healed all of them. That was good, right? So they had some kind of faith level. And then one of them, who was not even a Jew, came back and he got better than just healed. He was made whole. And that's where God wants us to function. Maybe you've lost a body part. You know, maybe, you know, doctors say, well, you know, I have to cut this off or that off, or this isn't going to work anymore. Well, God wants his people to be made whole, not just healed, but whole. So if something has been taken away from you, it can be replaced. And that's where we are in the body of Christ. I know of a minister, if you ask me, I'll tell you his name afterwards. He had lost a kidney. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but he had faith and was believing God for another kidney. And he got the revelation about in heaven, God has all these storehouses with body parts in them. Eyes. I mean, what if you need? He's got it. And he got that revelation. And one day he saw this kidney passing by. He'd been believing God for it. And he grabbed it. I mean, it was a spiritual kidney. And he put it in. And he got that kidney that he had lost. True story. Man is, you know, a little younger than us. Praise God. Live today. Anybody heard that story before? Mighty, mighty minister of God. Praise God. But I'm just telling you, it's true. I mean, God's doing it now with gifts of the Spirit in operation. Where there are body parts that are missing, blinded eyes. God's just doing it. Back about 15 years ago, I was invited, and I told you who it was, you'd know who this lady is, mighty evangelist, to her church. And after I preached the word, you know, there were those that wanted to be ministered to. This one lady was deaf. And to make a long story short, remember, faith has to work and love for the gifts to be manifested. She'd lost her hearing. She didn't have hearing. And when I laid hands on her, God gave her healing. So nothing's too hard. Amen? Absolutely nothing is too hard for God. But see, a lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people have been taught differently, so they're stuck in that. A lot of people think it's been done away with. But God wants his body to receive all of the gifts of the Spirit. And they all work with faith and love. Amen? Amen. So here we see these lepers, and one of the lepers that was not a Jew came back, and he did something. He worshiped and praised God for what he had. That's a major key. God wants us to be thankful and worship and praise him for what we have. And when he does something in our life, or he heals our child or blesses them, he wants us to be happy and be praising God before we even see it in the physical realm. Amen. And calling it forth. You know, maybe that child hasn't got the faith for it. You know, you start encouraging them and praising and worshiping and praying and thanking God for it. And encouraging them to do the same thing. Amen? Nothing's too hard for God. So let's look at these lepers. Praise God. Luke 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. That was one of the things that people did that was commanded even in the Old Testament when they got healed of leprosy. Because, you know, lepers were not allowed to be with other people, right? Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were healed. How many know it took faith for them to go and do that? Amen. So they had, you know, faith. The measure of faith was in operation. They didn't have the fruit of the Spirit. They didn't have the supernatural gift of faith, but they had faith. And they went on and they were healed. Cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, non-Jew. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. What made him whole? His faith. Amen. Over and over and over through the Gospels, we see Jesus telling people, thy faith has made thee whole. Amen. Hallelujah. So God wants us to get the mindset to expect the miraculous, to expect the supernatural. Our daddy is God, church. Amen. I mean, he made everything, and we are his heirs, his children, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're supernatural. And it's time for his people to flow and walk in the supernatural. Not just a handful, not just the ministers, not just a few, but the body of Christ. And in this church, there is no excuse. Amen. God wants on everything I do, but God wants it more, to flow in the supernatural and not be afraid of it. Because he's supernatural, so are we. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, so when I give examples, you know, I'm bragging on God. And I'm just letting you know, what he can do. If he can move through me, he'll move through you. If you will do the same thing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And I want it and God wants it. It's time for the saints to arise and move in the power of God. Not just a few, but all. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He paid it the price for all. Amen. I have another example, but I'm not going to share that. But God wants us to realize that, you know, about the different kinds of faith. And another level of faith is supernatural faith. And that is the gift of faith. Say gift of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I don't know if we're going to complete it all today, but the gift of faith is what Jesus moved in at all times. All the time. He moved in the gift of faith. He moved in the miraculous. And he wants his people to move in the miraculous. Praise God. We look in the Word of God and we see many of his people moving in the miraculous. Amen. In the area of faith as well as the other gifts. Remember, faith is a power gift that works with love. So we need faith and love for the gifts to operate properly. In the Old Testament, the anointing of God would come upon just certain ones, not everybody, like today. It would come upon the priests. It would come upon the king. It would come upon the judges. It would come upon the prophets. Praise God. To give an example, say an example, Samson. His supernatural gift that he moved in was strength. Amen? And he was able to do supernatural feats that you couldn't even think of, the average person couldn't do, because of the anointing of God would come upon him. Amen. And then it would live. Praise God. An example in the Old Testament is Moses. Moses was used by God mightily. When the supernatural gift of faith is in operation, that gift, the person most times doesn't have to do a lot. They just need to, you know, let God use them and just flowing faith. Moses had the staff. And you know how he used that staff? Or God, he just held it up. And who did the parting of the sea? Yeah, he didn't part the sea. God parted it. Amen? Praise God. When that woman got her healing, you know, I just put hands there. Who did the healing? God. Amen. Praise God. Joshua, you know, he told the people, you know, to walk around the wall 7 days and what to do. But who caused them to come down? God. Amen. But Joshua had faith. Amen. Praise God. Peter and John, when they were at the gate of beautiful, gate beautiful, there was a man that was paralyzed or crippled. And, you know, they said, arise, take up thy bed and walk. The man had faith. They had faith. And what happened? He got up and walked. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I guess probably about 15 years ago or maybe more than that, there was a man that was blind. And I laid hands on him, ministered to him in the church in front of everybody. And his vision started to return. As we walked out the church, there was another dear sister right next to me. And she asked him, she said, can you see? He couldn't see anything before. And he said, yeah. He said, it looks like, you know, he said, I see people because they were all in the parking lot. They look like trees. He said, I see them. And so there were like three women in front of us. And she asked him, he said, well, how many people do you see? He said, I see three. His vision had started coming back. Now, I share this with you so when you flow, you can encourage people. When he got home, I don't know all the details that happened. But, you know, sometimes you can have people around you that don't believe like you do that will discourage you so that you will lose what you have gotten. Those healings are gradual. Understand what I'm saying? So you've got to stay in faith and know that you know that you know. God's word says it. That settles it for me. Bird flu come along. People all out sick. And you might be, you know, some symptoms might be trying to jump on you. Don't agree with, don't even let it come out your mouth. That's not for me, not for my church or my family or whoever you want to say it for. If you want to believe for your office. Amen. And don't let other people get you into that mindset speaking it. Because, see, even Christians, because they are not under the word or not under the whole word of God, they just say what they know. Amen. And they don't understand many times the whole word of God and don't even get in an argument. But believe God's report. Lord, I thank you. I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. Amen. There are many times when you minister, I know, you know, because I've ministered to so many, many people over the years, and Pastor Lewis and I both, and I'll just tell you, you know, you think, well, you know, Apostle Crystal does this, that. Yeah, but it's God. And just like you have a battle, there are times that I have battles too. And I'll just give you an example. The first time we went to Africa, God told me, he said, I don't remember if it was the first night or what night it was. He said, I told Pastor Lewis, I said, God said tonight, he's going to have every person that comes forward. And he said, he told me to tell them to come forward. Now, I'm telling you, there was a battle going on. And it was, I know, you know, that it was the enemy coming, bombarding my mind. You know, what's the enemy going to say? Well, what if they don't get healed? And you tell them that. You know, just all kinds of stuff. You see what I'm saying? So just like you, he doesn't give up. But we've got to make up our mind, I choose to believe the report of the Lord. And because I chose to believe God's report, even though there was a battle going on, and I loved and feared God more, I got up and I said what God said. And practically the whole church came forward. I mean, all kinds of things. People crippled. I mean, you name it. And God healed every person. Pastor Lewis and I ministered to him. I'll never forget this one little boy. I don't even know if he had a family. He heard about the service and he came by himself. I think he was about 8 years old. He was burning up. He'd been sick for like 3 weeks. and God instantly healed him. That temperature was gone. You know, those people were rejoicing. So, and they have faith, let me tell you, over there. They have to have faith for everything. To get, they don't have gas, they don't have, they have to have faith. So they were in faith, and they were believing, and God was able to move. Had I not opened my mouth, then what do you think would have happened? Nothing. So I'm saying, I share that with you, and I give God the glory to let you know that we all have battles. All of us. And we've got to choose whose report will we believe. Whether it's somebody in your family that's speaking negative, doubt, unbelief, whether it's somebody on the job, whether it's somebody you don't even know that wants to, you know, try to grab your faith. Don't you accept faith quenchers or faith stoppers, and don't be one. Speak life. Even when you're being bombarded in your mind, speak life. And that will be what will eventually show up. And particularly if you're going through physically. You know, I know what it's like. You want to say, oh, you know, everything except the word of God. And that's exactly what the devil wants. But God wants us to speak life, his word. Why? Because when we do that, then that's what comes forth. These are spiritual laws, church. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Paul was so anointed. I mean, so anointed. And, you know, you want the anointing of God there, then you do certain things. You walk uprightly before God. You live a holy life. You spend time in prayer. You spend time before God in prayer and fast. You do, you know, do the things you know to do. Praying in the Spirit. Walking in the way God would have you do in terms of faith and speaking it. And these things increases the anointing of God on a person's life. And our faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So you just can't put your eyes under all the stuff that's on the televisions or in the movies. You can't do it. Because that's what you're going to have more than the faith of God. Amen? So put the Christian videos on. Amen. Or turn on, you know, TBN or whatever. And get that inside of you. Or if you're somewhere where you can't and somebody else wants to work something else, then you go somewhere else and do what you know you need to do. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. You know, so here Paul was so anointed. And I'm anointed. I give God the glory. And my clothes are anointed. I'll tell you that in a minute. Amen. Somebody get my clothes. They better be thankful. But at any rate, but you're anointed. Amen. I heard one amen. You're anointed. I heard a grunt and amen. Say, I'm anointed. Amen. You are. We're anointed because God is in us. And if you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, his anointing is upon us. But he wants the anointing to increase. Why? So that yokes can be destroyed. There was an instance of true story. Man of God. There was this one woman that was in an insane asylum, and she had been ill, I mean, severely ill, insane. And they wouldn't let, you know, she was so bad, they wouldn't let anybody go in to see her. This is a number of years ago. So he prayed over some candy. And I know this works, too. And prayed, you know, for the anointing of God to be on this candy. And he was believing and praying, and I know he was probably fasting too, that this woman was going to be delivered. She ate that candy, and she came out of that same asylum. He couldn't get in there, but the candy was allowed to go in. Amen. I remember years ago, a fruit baker, this lady, we had gone to a service, Pastor Lewis and I, and not at the church, but another church, and didn't even know she was ill. And her husband was saying how bad she was, and so forth and so on and all. And the Lord, you know, instructed me to buy her a fruit basket and to pray over every piece of fruit. And I mean, probably paid in the Spirit by 3 hours or more. Took it to her, and then the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, and God told her what she had sugar diabetes and this. And she was a young woman back then, maybe in her early 30s or something like that. And he said, tell her, I'm a healer. God did it. And she had been sick for weeks and weeks and weeks. I didn't tell her about the fruit basket. And she ate that fruit, and she was healed. So I share that with you, the importance of us taking seriously who we are and allowing God to use us. Amen? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Absolutely nothing. And sometimes, you know, people, you know, may be ministered to, and afterwards they might feel worse. And they may start agreeing with the worse. And that's what they get. Because the enemy does not want that person's healing to be manifested. Amen. Hallelujah. God's word is true. So don't be a faith quencher, or let faith quencher stop you and block your door from being open for you walking into and having the victory. But I was talking about clothes. Got off on candy. Praise the Lord. But Paul's clothes were so anointed. And he was so anointed that the word said they took handkerchiefs and things off of his body. And people were healed and delivered by just having the handkerchiefs. Is anything too hard for God? Absolutely nothing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so prayer clothes and things like that are scriptural. But you don't sell them. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. So God, you know, wants us to realize, and we're talking about the supernatural gift of faith right now. This is a higher, the best, better, the better than this. Amen. Best, good, best, betterest. Amen. Praise God. Jesus always operated in it. You know, he multiplied the food. That was supernatural gift. Took faith. Amen. Didn't have enough. I know y'all have heard me, you know, often, and I was thinking about here when we had the conference the last time with the turkey. You know, and I tell you, I believe God, we're going to have enough and more than enough. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. In this particular time, we had people that were coming to our house, and I had fixed a turkey and some food, not knowing that they were going to have all these other people. And I prayed. I said, Lord, Pastor Lewis, remember that, please multiply this food so we have enough and more than enough. I'm telling you, God, I mean, they ate and ate and ate and ate and ate. And afterwards, it was like we hadn't eaten. There was so much food left over. Lewis may remember. He may have been there. Praise God then. So much food left over for everybody to take home. You know, I like to give away, right? Share, sow seed. And God did it. And I've talked to other people. The same things happened here. You know, but God wants us to put our faith out there. Even if it's not your area, here in the body, locally, believe God. Equipment start acting up. You know, it could be a spiritual thing. It may not. Believe God. Release your faith. Pray. Amen. That's why it's good to be in prayer in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. So we looked at the gifts of faith, supernatural gift of faith. And, you know, God doesn't want us to be fearful, but he wants us to be full of faith and to move in the better realm, which is the gift of faith. That's the supernatural realm. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have some other things, but I'm not going to share them now. But I just want you to keep in mind, you know, there's the natural faith. There is the fruit of faith, which is only for the born again believer. And then there is the gift of faith. And that's the supernatural realm where Jesus moved in and where it's time for the body of Christ to flow in. Amen? Say, I choose to believe God and move in the Spirit with Almighty God. Use me, Lord, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. Oh, we thank you, Lord, your words are spirit and resurrection life. And, Lord, I thank you for your people not only being hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name. The church say amen and amen. God bless you.